Bro, what's up?
Dude, just watching the dating game.
Right on. Hey, dude, guess what tonight?
What?
Pool party, my house.
Welcome to Pool Party Radio. This is the podcast where we talk about stuff and junk and, you know, whatever is going on. I'm your host, Parker. I'm joined by co-host, Jason Frisbee.
Hey, did you notice I didn't trample over your words like last week?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was practicing.
We're going to be professionals one day. Yeah, this is Pool Party, like I said. If you like this show, if you're new to this show, maybe this is the first episode you ever heard. That's probably not the case, but if it is, you can go to poolpartyradio.com, and we got all the episodes there. You can go to iTunes and get all the episodes there. First off, before we, get into what we learned this week and all that, I wanted to thank a fellow by the name of Seth Kuzer. He left us a bunch of nice stuff on our Facebook last week. I meant to mention it on last week's show, but I forgot all about it because I'm a jerk. But he left us nice things, nice words of encouragement, and so I wanted to thank him publicly and openly. Did you see any of those nice things, Frisbee?
I'm actually looking at it now. He's has some very nice praise there, just saying great show, never stop. And this is a good time as any to, you know, not only thank Seth, but open up to any fans, any listeners who have any amount of praise to do so at the Pool Party Radio Facebook webpage. That's facebook.com/poolpartyradio. We love praise. We feed off of it. We are egomaniacs.
That's true. Even if you just want to give us a bit of silent praise by just going there and clicking the like button, that's good enough for us.
Yeah.
But if you want to go that extra mile like Seth Kuzer and be totally cool and warm our hearts and make our days better, that works too. We're not above that. But do like us, though, there, because that also warms our hearts quite a bit. And, then you get all kinds of news about the show. You get to see the little pictures that we put up. If you only subscribe on iTunes, you don't get to see the little pictures I Photoshop every week that go along with each episode. And those take all of 30 seconds to make, so I'd really appreciate my hard work to go noticed on those. Another thing I wanted to mention real quick is that last week we were talking about, you know, a guy who died in a house of bees. And the coroners weren't sure what the cause of death was yet, so we assumed it was probably bees. And I made a joke saying that, you know, maybe the bees used poison to kill this guy. That way they wouldn't get caught for the crime. Completely forgetting all about the fact that bees use poison to kill people normally. So my joke about sort of poisoning a guy's drink seemed stupid. So I just wanted to clarify that joke. I was saying that maybe the bees poisoned a man's drink. That way they would be undetected by the law and could get away with the murder, which is a much sillier... It doesn't make any sense, considering the fact that bees actually kill people with poison. So that joke made no sense, and I apologize for making the dumb joke. That had no basis in science.
Well, you're also stating that these bees are going to, like, find hemlock and add it to this guy's drink. So, like, the concept's supposed to be silly. I mean, these bees that you paint are supposed to be mischievous ne'er-do-wells, all of them with, like, you know, handlebar mustaches that they're twirling with their fingers, and they're bee-like appendages, I should say, not fingers. Like, I mean, we're not trying to root this into science. Like,
well, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, that was funny.
That would be funny. Like, if I said that happened, like, if a rhino did that, if a rhino poisoned somebody, that would be funny, because the idea of a rhino poisoning somebody is absurd. But the fact that bees are poisoning somebody, that doesn't make any sense, because bees do poison people. So it's not a good joke, and it just made no sense.
I thought it was funny. I think it's even funnier now. Like, they have the capability to poison themselves, but they're like, no, let's poison their drink instead.
Well, maybe you're right. Maybe I won't be so hard on myself in the future when it comes to bee jokes.
I hope so.
So now that we have all that stuff out of the way, we should start this show off properly by talking about what we learned this week. The thing I learned this week is something that I think is very fun. This is something that can be very fun. A lot of people look down upon it, don't like it, but I think it's fun and cool, and that's name-dropping people. So I've been name-dropping people all week, like just not so much name-dropping people that you know, I could get like a benefit from. Like a lot of people will be like, my band opened for, you know, Cold Chamber one time. Yeah, check me out. I'm name dropping that. But I like name dropping things that don't necessarily need to be name dropped. Like on Twitter this week, when I came up with this idea, I name dropped my friend John Holmes. And John Holmes replied and said it was a very funny joke. My friend, John Holmes, who I'm very good friends with. So that's the sort of thing that I've been doing all week. I don't talk to many real-life humans, as you may have gathered. So I've mostly been name-dropping people to my dog. Kepi is his name. Kepi, my dog that I know and live with. So, you know, I've been name-dropping people to him. I said, hey, Kepi, we might have a guest on the pool party show next week called Chris Arneson. Maybe you know about him.
You know, Kepi normally looks startled whenever I see a picture of him. Did he get more startled when you name drop these people? Like, did his eyelids go even higher up? Did his ears go even further up and back? Well.
Anytime any sound happens, that's usually what happens. He's very scared of everything. But I think mostly he just thought I was, like, kind of pretentious to be name dropping people like that.
That's why he was looking more surprised.
Yeah.
I didn't know you were this pretentious all of a sudden.
Yeah, he said, we live 2.5 hours from L.A. Why are you all of a sudden so pretentious and name-dropping? But speaking of Los Angeles, Jeremy Morrison is in Los Angeles right now. He's been on the show before. Yeah, mm-hmm. Jeremy Morrison.
That's right.
So that's what I've learned. I've just been name-dropping at inappropriate times. Yeah, so what did you learn this week?
Just that I have regained my appetite, which is nice. I did not have an appetite for a long time. And this is
an appetite for destruction.
Like, yeah, for destroying a pot roast with my stomach. No, I was telling you a while ago, like I just lost all temptation to eat anything at all. Like I'm just kind of forcing it down. Don't even like the taste of stuff. But this past weekend I made a pot roast, which I don't do very often. And after one bite, I was convinced I could probably eat the entire thing myself, like all 2 pounds of beef, vegetables, everything. I was convinced, like if somebody had to bet me to do it, I would gladly do it without a bet. I would just eat the entire thing. Became a voracious animal, an eating machine, if you will. So yeah, that kind of makes me happy.
Are you pregnant?
Yeah, I am. I'm expecting. In fact, that's what Megan asked me. She asked if I was preggers, and I said, maybe so.
Well, I can't wait for you to pop that baby out. That way I can start name dropping it.
What would be my baby's name? Boy or a girl?
I would just refer to it as Little Baby Frisbee, no matter the gender. Little Baby Frisbee, even when that baby is like 35 years old. Here comes Little Baby Frisbee.
I'm thinking that his first name is Little Baby. And then his middle name would have to be Reginald? I always want to name something Reginald, so it might as well be my child.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine Baby being the middle name, because I don't want it to be like Little Frisbee, like Little Abner. I want it to be Little Baby, Reginald, Frisbee, boy or girl. So whenever this kid gets into wacky hijinks, like at work or something, like when you mentioned that 35, you know, Little Baby Frisbee, I got this report due. Get it in my office stat.
I like that. That's a good name for a baby. Or an adult man.
An adult man. Yeah, it's much funnier as an adult man, I think. Not to be sexist, but...
Yeah, so that's what we learned this week. This week, I've also sort of been having a dilemma. And that Thanksgiving is coming up next week. And I fucking hate Thanksgiving. I think it's the worst holiday for personal reasons, not anything political or anything like that.
Well, right, not political. I mean, I can't imagine anybody being upset about it now, but what can you expand on what the personal reasons are that you hate Thanksgiving?
Yeah, they probably sound kind of crybaby-ish and boo-hoo-y now. But one time, I went, like, well, I mean, just first of all, it's like a boring thing, you know? I mean, oh, you put out fake corn and stuff, you know? It's like, it's not Halloween, you know, it's not fun. And then it's not Christmas where you get a bunch of presents. Like, it's just some bullshit thrown in the middle. So that's kind of been my first problem with it. And one time I went to a girlfriend's house for Thanksgiving. And we were together like 4 or 5 months or something like that. And I go over there for Thanksgiving, you know, we're eating food and stuff. And then, like, her ex-boyfriend calls. And she's like, hey, why don't you come over here for Thanksgiving?
Oh.
Yeah. So I spent the rest of the day, like, talking to my girlfriend's, like, little sister while my girlfriend and her ex-boyfriend were just hanging out, having Thanksgiving together while we were together and while I was right there. Kind of an awkward thing. So that's always made me hate Thanksgiving on a very personal level.
Yeah, I'd say so.
And then a few years later, or I guess maybe many years later, a few years ago, this probably happened. Like, at this point, I had just called off all Thanksgiving because that's the way I do. I'm very stubborn and I'm very, like, superstitious, I guess. And so after that Thanksgiving, I was just like, fuck it. No more Thanksgiving for me. Like, I always would, like, volunteer to work on Thanksgiving after that. Like, that way I could get out of going to a girlfriend's house or whatever. And, you know, and I mean, I don't like being around people and other people's families to begin with. So it's, you know, it's always been a good excuse for me. Like, oh, I had this one bad Thanksgiving. So now I can't ever hang out with anybody. So
like Thanksgiving, work. Yeah.
Yeah. So it works for me as a hermit and, an anxious sort of fellow. But a few years ago, I was dating this girl, like I said, for a few months. And she was like, hey, you know, I know you hate Thanksgiving, but it would be like really important if you come over and celebrate Thanksgiving with my family. And, you know, like my family, they always lived like out of state and stuff. So I never had the excuse of, oh, I'm going to my mom's house because she lived, you know, 700 miles away. So that never worked. I had to just be adamantly a jerk to get out of Thanksgiving with girlfriends and stuff. But this time I was like, well, all right, I guess I will. Maybe I'll give this Thanksgiving thing a shot. You know, it's been many years since my bad Thanksgiving. Maybe we'll start anew here. And she was like, oh, cool. And let me tell you, you know, one rule you got to go by. My dad, he doesn't have a hand. So when you shake his hand, you have to just go for it. You can't be apprehensive about the fact that he has no hand.
Oh.
Yeah. So as a person who's like very awkward about shaking a man's hand who has a normal, fully functioning hand, now I had to worry about not only shaking this weird paw of a hand, but doing it in a way that suggested that I was perfectly comfortable and normal, which I couldn't do, like I said, if he had a real hand. Like, I would still just be like, oh my god, I'm touching another man's hand, what the fuck?
Right, right, I can't imagine that. Gone well.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. So, I did that, and I put up with all that, and it seemed to go fine, I guess, as fine as it could. And then, like, 2 days later, we broke up. So I went through that horror for nothing. So that's
awful. That's like, yeah. That's like making it all the way to the end of Fear Factor and not winning that last competition.
Yeah. So, but I mean, we broke up for, like, completely unrelated things. So it wasn't like I shook the hand wrong or something like this and we had to break up. So that was kind of a bummer. So now I just completely hate Thanksgiving. Totally the worst. And so getting back to my original thing, I want to replace Thanksgiving with something else so that I can have fun and celebrate and eat turkey, but not say that it's for Thanksgiving, say that it's for something else. And I've narrowed it down to two things, and I was hoping that maybe you or maybe the listeners can help me decide on this. You know, you can email us at poolpartyradio@gmail.com and let me know if, you know, you guys have something that you have used to take the place of Thanksgiving or if you like one of these ideas. Maybe we can all celebrate together. Everybody who hates Thanksgiving, maybe we can all have a new holiday. And I've narrowed it down to either Julian Sands Giving, where on the fourth Thursday of every month or whatever it is, we all just get together and we watch Julian Sands movies. We watch Warlock. We watch Warlock 2, The Armageddon. We watch Boxing Helena, Arachnophobia, Gothic. We watch the one episode of The Paul Scheer Show that Julian Sands was on. You know, all this stuff. And one of the things that really caps us off in honor of Boxing Helena, my favorite Julian Sands movie, when you go to cut the turkey, you cut the legs off first. That is a tradition that we will have, because Boxing Helena is a movie about a guy who cuts a girl's legs off, you see, Frisbee.
I see. Yeah, that's a very symbolic and horrific at the same time. but it's very charming, too. Like, I can appreciate that fact. So Julian Sands Giving,
Mm-hmm. And we just, you know, celebrate Julian Sands and his body of work.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, it might as well just be about anything. Like, people try to make it out, like you said, for political reasons to be Day of Pilgrims getting through that first year and making peace with the natives, which turned out kind of poorly in the end, I guess, for everyone involved. And, yeah, why not just bring it back to something fun, I guess?
Yeah.
I was going to suggest just resurrecting the Mystery Science Theater 3000 Turkey Day. Every year, it seemed like, when Mystery Science Theater was on Comedy Central, and Comedy Central had barely any licensing outside of just Mystery Science Theater, Whose Line Is It Anyway from England, and Kids in the Hall. That was it. That's all they would show. Thanksgiving Day was completely reserved for Mystery Science Theater 3000, and they just marathon a bunch of the episodes, and sometimes like Adam West would show up and do bumps for it. So you could do that. Watch Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Yeah, that would be pretty good. That's probably what I used to do in like high school and stuff back when they still had that.
So I'm sure you could find like a torrent online or something where it's the entire, I don't know if it like 12 or 24 hours. I forget if they did an entire day or not, but you could just play that in the background and just make a Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah, that would be pretty good. Like, I feel that that's the way I would have to do it, is to torrent one of the old, like, actual Turkey Days with all the bumpers and commercials and stuff. Because if you're going to go out and buy the box sets to make 12 or 24 hours of Mystery Science Theater happen, you would have to be a millionaire. You got to be the 1% to be able to afford all those box sets, because they're like $800 each.
I know, right? They're marketing to the wrong percentage. But yeah, you have to have all those old commercials too, or else it won't feel as nostalgic.
Yeah, it'll feel like just another day of watching Mystery Science Theater all day in your underwear.
Yeah, yeah. You have to be like, oh, we better get the Burger King so I can get those Nightmare Before Christmas watches with every meal that I purchase.
So yeah, so here's my other possible Thanksgiving replacement. And this one is sort of less involved, but I think it has a punchier name. And that's Cranksgiving. This is the day where you get together and you celebrate Jason Statham's Crank movies. You watch them both, and, you know, you gather around instead of, like, you know, toasting a normal toast or, you know, doing whatever you do, you know, oh, it's a family or whatever. You just raise your glasses high, and you say, fuck you, Chelios.
And, you are a huge fan of that line.
I totally am. Yeah, so that's what you do that day. Rather than watching, you know, football or whatever, you get together, you watch a couple of Crank movies, you know, tell, you know, like, when people come to the door. You know, they got, like, some potato salad in hand and babies. They're like, hey, we're here for Cranksgiving. You go, hey, fuck you, Chelios, come on in. And it's a big, fun thing. And, of course, with both of these, with Julian Sands giving or with Cranksgiving, I'm sure there's a lot more that you can do, a lot more punny stuff, a lot more traditional things that can be, you know, added to it. Like, I mean, with Thanksgiving, there's the pilgrims, there's the Horn of Plenty, you know, there's maize, that, you know, the weird colored corn with the black stuff on it. So, I mean, I'm sure if we put our heads together, we can come up with a bunch of stuff like this for either Cranksgiving or Julian Sandsgiving. So, you know, I've got to whittle it down to one by next week. So if any listeners have any preference over what holiday we should implement and start doing that will hopefully take over Thanksgiving one day, let us know. poolpartyradio@gmail.com. You know, if you have any little traditions or puns, you know, that can go into this, like punny little traditions that tie into a movie, let us know. We'll try to get one of these off the ground. We'll start our new traditions, our new holidays.
I'm excited to hear about what kind of decorations and foodstuffs there would be for Cranksgiving.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Probably, I don't know. Got to think about it more. It's not easy to get a new holiday up and off the ground. You got to put a lot of thought into it.
Yeah, because you're like you said, it's a tradition. You're a new, I'm just saying this because I love Devo. You're becoming a new traditionalist, and you'd have to make sure those traditions fit for the rest of the foreseeable future, or until a different Thanksgiving replacement comes along.
Yeah, until like 300 years from now, when some kid goes to Cranksgiving, and his girlfriend's hanging out with her ex-boyfriend, and he's like, fuck this. We need some new shit.
I need my Julian Sandsgiving day. For a moment, I thought you were saying like you didn't like Thanksgiving because the food stuffs is boring. But I like this day because, you know, you kind of get to eat.
Well, yeah, the food is a very important part of either Julian Sandsgiving or Cranksgiving, whichever one we decide on going with. I mean, with Cranksgiving, you know, like, with all the food, either one of these holidays, you just got to make sure that it ties into the movie somehow with a pun. Like, you can have, if you're celebrating Cranksgiving, you can have Jason Statham, you know, a nice honey ham cooked up, Jason Statham. Or you could have Jason Stuffing, if you want. You know, Jason Statham, Jason Stuffing.
Why? Yeah, yeah.
I don't know, this is, I'm just spitballing here. I don't know. It took people like 300 years to get all the traditions down for Thanksgiving. I mean, this is not going to be an overnight thing. You know, we'll have to spitball a lot of ideas to come up with this new tradition. Maybe, you know, in a few years we'll have it down.
Yeah.
You know, you can also have for dessert Amy Smarties, because Amy Smart is in Crank.
You know, just so just have Smarties wrapped up.
Yeah, you eat all your leftover Smarties from Halloween.
Part of the Red Band Network, redbandnetwork.com.
One thing I want to mention this week is how I kind of dropped the ball. I tend to make fun of this website called Yelp.com because the reviewers aren't very good at reviewing. And most I go on there looking at what they do for restaurants, and the restaurant reviews are pretty terrible. But of all things on Facebook, I was actually describing this coffee shop that's in Dayton. It's a place called Press. And I was doing a review for it, criticizing it, and it did not go so hot. Like, I thought it was being very funny and witty and well-spoken, and when I went back and looked at it after somebody else had commented on it, there were a ton of gaps, just broken sentences, missing direct objects, really basic stuff. It was kind of a shameful thing. Have you ever been to Yelp.com?
A little bit. I've never really used it too much. Like, I would use it, like, whenever I'd be, like, traveling, driving around on road trips, I would use it just to find a place, but I would never, like, review anything or really, like, look at the reviews, though. But I know people who swear by it. I know people who are on the Yelp 24 hours a day reviewing every single thing that they do.
Yeah, and there are some good ones, but there are other times when it's just the same thing as going on to, like, Yahoo questions or Ask Yahoo, where it's just really, really oddly phrased things, statements and all that. And I always thought I was better than that, but it turns out that I'm not. And I showed this on Facebook, so, you know, hopefully I'll regain some mastery of the English language, because that is my degree. And it doesn't really mean much if I can't make an accurate Facebook post.
Did you get called out? Like, were people like, yo, I can't even read what you're writing?
No, not at all. Not at all. Like, I mean, all the errors occurred within, like, the first two sentences. So I could immediately see it when I went back. But thankfully, like, no one was like, hey, you talk like a dumbass. You comment like an idiot.
I think you're all right. I think that your bad grammar and bad spelling and whatever is probably way better than the average person's. And if nobody called you out on it, like, the one thing that the internet is for is calling people out. Like, if they write, you know, if you were to have written five paragraphs about something and there's, like, one mistake, somebody usually calls you out on that one tiny mistake. Like, oh, you missed a period here, you motherfucker.
Yeah, yeah. Like, so, I've seen that on sites like Reddit where it says comments upon comments, and then the arguments become invalid because everybody's just criticizing grammar and spelling.
Yeah, that's what we talked about this earlier, not on the show, but I was reading the Frank Miller thing that he wrote about the Occupy Wall Street and all that. So the first guy, he, you know, leaves a comment and he's all, you know, yeah, Frank Miller, you know, I enjoy your comic books, but I disagree with you wholeheartedly about your politics, and here are numerous reasons why. And then the next guy would be like, oh, look at this motherfucker. He, you know, forgot to put a comma inside the quotation marks. He is clearly gay as fuck. And then, like, the next 10 people just leave, like, trolled. You got trolled. Trolled. And then the next people after that are like, oh, trolled is an outdated meme. We should no longer say that. And then, like, it's just people fighting about stuff that has nothing to do with Frank Miller or occupying things. And that's pretty much what the internet is. It's just two people trying to talk about a very important issue, and then millions of people who just want to, you know, troll other people.
I wholeheartedly agree with your statement, Mr. Bowman. And here's why. Well, there's no real reason behind it. It's just an agreement. And it is just trolling. Like, that's all I find the internet to be anymore. It's just endless trolling. Yeah. One after the other. I mean, even I'm doing it. Like, whether it's on Twitter or in a comments page.
Or making fun of David Angelo on Twitter.
Yeah, like threatening to get rid of you on Twitter because of what you post. Like, that's trolling. Like, I'm not actually going to do that. It's just rude to say, and I feel fine saying it. Like, I'm not... I mean, we've known each other, like, almost 10 years, and I've never been... well, for the better, a little over 5 years. Between 5 to 10 years, my math is pretty hazy on how long we've known each other.
Math is hard.
It is hard. But the point is, like, I'm not a rude person, typically, in real life. And yet, I totally feel fine being rude online. And I'm pretty sure everyone does. It's a faceless crime.
That's true. I don't even consider you rude on the internet. I'm just really trying to play up this whole David Angelo is your arch enemy.
Well, I know this. And he's and he's not, but I appreciate you keep trying it.
Yeah, but I mean, seeing as to how nobody called you out specifically about your grammar crimes, I think you're fine. So you're on the up and up still. You're in the upper echelon of good grammar on the internet.
I'm in the 1% of the grammar on the internet.
You're still able to make fun of other people's grammar, and nobody will call you a hypocrite.
Yeah, but I have to go back and delete that comment now because it's up there for good. And who knows, who might go through all my records and say, like, wait a minute, these sentences don't even make sense. No one's called him out on this yet. I can never run for public office because somebody was going to call me out on that.
Yeah, especially after I find it and take a screenshot of it.
Oh, God damn it. No!
Speaking of no with several O's, you got me into the show Sherlock Holmes, or Sherlock, I guess, the BBC show.
Correct. Yeah, it's the updated version of the Sherlock Holmes stories.
Yes, Sherlock set in modern times. The guy from The Office is there. The guy who is not American, Jim. I don't know what his name is. But yeah, so that guy's in it, and this guy Benedict Cumberbatch, who's going to play a dinosaur in The Hobbit, which is really cool. And those guys are tremendous actors, and I really like this show, mostly based on the first episode. The first episode's amazing, and it tickles me something fierce. But I watched the third and final episode, a couple of days ago, and there was something that really struck me.
Spoilers!
Spoiler alert! You know, there's a lot of Sherlockian stuff in this show. You know, a lot of, I deduced that you live alone. You know, I'm Sherlock, and I've deduced that you, Watson, live alone because of such and such things, and I deduced that you've just come back from Afghanistan because you have such a tan line, and, you know, I've deduced that you're poor because you have a very expensive phone, but it was clearly given to you by your drunken brother because there are scratches on the part where you plug it in, blah, blah, blah. Like, all this smart, you know, sort of deduction that Sherlock Holmes is known for. And then there's this part in the third episode where Sherlock is introduced to a character, and you know, he's like, hey, this guy's gay. And they're like, well, how do you figure that, Sherlock? And you expect, like, some sort of, like, witty, you know, answer because, you know, he's very... You know, I mean, you know, he's very House-like, I guess, even though House is based on Sherlock. And so the Sherlock's like, oh, well, I deduced that he's gay because he wears a lot of product in his hair, and his eyebrows are dyed a different color, like they got highlights in them, and he was wearing a very particular brand of gay underpants.
Right, the underpants were showing kind of like on advertisement. He had the underpants showing above the pant waist belt line.
Yeah, so rather than, like, some sort of smart thing, like, you know, he noticed a rainbow tattoo on the guy's bicep or something, like, something that would actually lead to a person, like, you kind of figuring out that a person is gay or whatever. Like, it's just all these, like, weird, like, stereotypes and, like, homophobic kind of things. And I thought that was really awful. And I thought that was weird that they would just sort of lead Sherlock to be this homophobe like that, sort of unintentionally. And it was kind of offensive. Did you catch on to this too?
Yeah, I wasn't necessarily offended by it, but I did find it to be like the laziest Sherlock deduction ever, it's not his best deduction ever, because it comes to bite him in the ass later on.
Yeah, well, I mean, even besides that, like, just to be like, oh, well, you know, this guy, I can see his underwear, and I can see that he's got a lot of hairspray. Gay. Totally gay. you know, is homophobic, I think. So, I was thinking that it would be cool if they did a spinoff called Sherlock Homophobia.
Oh, I see. I see what you did there.
Where, and maybe we can sort of act this out real quick, but... you know, I thought it would be great if they just really went full bore with this characteristic that they were giving this new Sherlock character, and that he's homophobic, and just, you know, went with it 100%. Like, for instance, Frisbee, like, if you could play John Watson, and you come into the apartment, 221 Baker Street, Baker Street, and say that, you know, there's, like, a dead body down at the docks, and we got to go investigate, and then all be Sherlock homophobia.
Okay. Sherlock, there's a dead body down at the docks. We have to go investigate this murder.
Crikey! He probably died of AIDS because he's a faggot.
That's the entire scene. Yeah, yeah.
And that's how the entire show would go. Just Sherlock being very homophobic. Sherlock showing up at, you know, and donating a lot of money to the Michelle Bachmann candidacy fund and stuff like that. Like, so I think that that would be a very fun and offensive show, because that's the way they've sort of taken the show to begin with, is that Sherlock is making these very generalized, offensive guesses about people and deciding that they're gay.
And that's the thing. You kind of bring up an interesting point for this reboot, because when you mentioned how he perceives Watson the first time and is making those guesses about Watson's phone, like how the person is who previously owned it is drunk or is a drunk alcoholic, and how it is from Watson's brother. Now in the books, it's a pocket watch that Watson gets from his brother. But in this reboot, Sherlock narrows it down to, again, he says, so it was your brother who gave you this phone. And if you remember, it turns out to be Watson's sister. So I think he just has a general, like, sex and gender problem in this reboot. He just can't decipher. When it gets down to that point, he just can't decipher it. Like, he can tell you who solved the murder, up into what sex they are and what their sexual preference is, and then he's just lost.
I still think he's a hate monger.
Fuck you, Chelios.
Fuck you, Chelios.
Fuck you, Chelios.
Fuck you, Chelios.
Fucking fuck your balls, Chelios.
Chelios, fuck you.
Come, Chelios.
Fuck! Oh, Chelios, fuck it all.
And now, an editorial from John Holmes entitled, I Don't Want Kids.
I had a friend recently say to me, I think people who don't want kids are selfish. And I said, yeah, or they don't want to fuck up another human being's life. Because that's what happens. I have all sorts of illnesses and mental deficiencies. Why would I want to pass that down? I know I sound good now, but this guy is barely being kept together. Lots of duct tape and band-aids holding me in one piece. Alright, I drank a beer at 10 a.m. today because I was too lazy to refill the water pitcher. How well do you think I'll fare with raising a child? I think people who want to have kids are selfish. They just want to pass down their genes, and that's really arrogant. How does a person think, man, I am perfect? I'm so great that I feel bad for everyone who isn't me. I'm so perfect that this world needs two of me. Or more. This world needs as many me's as possible. But really, people come up with bullshit excuses like, I have too much love for just one person. Well, there's sports, your job, or even God if you want to swing that way. There are many different outlets for you to give your love. I have a niece and she's adorable. But that's really only because she can't backtalk yet. Once they start doing that, it's all downhill. I don't have patience for smart-ass kids. I don't have patience, period. I get angry at people if they don't immediately get a joke. It could be some shitty observation while my girlfriend and I are driving. That Golden Corral back there said, eat all you can. Isn't that the most disgusting and gluttonous thing ever? I don't get it. How is that different than all you can eat? Because all you can eat implies endless amounts of food. Eat all you can implies a fat guy eating until he vomits, and then continues shoveling food into his fat mouth. I still don't. Oh my god! It's a funny joke. What's not to get about a funny joke, goddammit? Fuck you. Fuck you and your shitty brain. You think I'm gonna have patience when a kid back talks to me? Honey, I'm gonna need you to stop calling daddy a fat asshole because you're upsetting the other people who are trying to eat at the Olive Garden. I don't care. You don't care? You don't care that I'm spending my goddamn money to feed you, to keep you alive? Why don't you go live in the streets then? Go live in the streets and die from starvation, you ungrateful shit. That's how I would talk to my daughter, if I had kids. But I can't have kids. I'm 25 and I'm not mature enough to have kids. I can't imagine people younger than me having kids. Like that show Teen Mom? Have you seen it? It's the most depressing piece of television on earth. Sometimes I'll watch that show, then have to switch over to a Holocaust documentary on the History Channel just to cheer up. It's so sad. Here's how every episode ends. The teen mom was going to have fun, but now she's not, and she won't ever again. Those girls are trying to raise a child, and they have no clue how to do it. They all scream at the baby, "What do you want?" when it's crying. And they don't read books about how to raise a child. Of course not. They couldn't bother themselves to read Huckleberry Finn for English. Shit. They couldn't bother themselves to read Huckleberry Finn for English. Think they're going to read a book about how to raise a child? No. Better just to scream at the baby. And it's good when they give the baby up for adoption. But it's sad, too, because you know they'll get a knock on the door in 18 years and have to explain everything. And it won't be hard to find them because that shit has been documented. It's on TV. They were on the cover of Life and Style magazine. I'm amazed that every show doesn't end with the message, use birth control unless you want your life ruined. Because that's what having a kid does to you. Having a kid when you're a teenager is horrible. And I know I'm probably going to get some off responses for this editorial, but all I can say is that I'm sorry that I knew how to use a condom when I was 17.
And now, it's time for the lightning round.
The first piece of news we have this week on the lightning round, a piece of news from Frisbee's hometown of Vandalia, Ohio. A man named Terry Trent got very high on these bath salts that the kids are all into. He broke into somebody's house and started decorating their Christmas tree with ornaments and things. And I find that very weird. Is this a normal sort of thing for you in your town,
Mr. Frisbee? I think that's the only way to celebrate the holidays in Vandalia. I'm surprised that this is the only story coming out about it. So, must be a new tradition for everybody else. But I have fond memories growing up. Back then, you'd have to get high on glue, not necessarily bath salts, and you would deck the halls like a maniac. I like the report that he went in, was decorating the house, and basically the person just comes in and says, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm sorry, I was just decorating. Like, he seems, in the report, it seems like he's very apologetic.
Yeah, yeah.
And he says, like, sorry, I was just feeling very festive.
He says, I didn't mean to scare you, I'll get my things and go.
Right, which is the perfect thing to say if all you want to do is decorate somebody's tree.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I don't see why they had to arrest this guy. Like, he did nothing wrong, and he was very nice and gentlemanly. He was trying to do these people a solid.
Yeah.
I mean, hanging up all those ornaments on your tree is, like, hard work. I mean, it takes, like, kind of a long while. I mean, I would much prefer a dude all coked up on bath salts to do it for me, especially if he's being so nice.
Right, right. They said that he burgled something, but they don't mention what he burgled. So I can't really be sure, like, how on the level this bath-salted, coked-out maniac was, outside of just decorating the tree.
Yeah. Well, maybe he was a bad guy. But he was a gentleman thief, if he was a thief.
Yeah, yeah. I still do like the, you know, sorry if I scared you. I'll just collect my things and some of your things and go.
The next thing we have is that Peter Dinklage, who is known for playing Tyrion, the dwarven fellow in the Game of Thrones. He's also known for playing a dwarf in both versions of Death at a Funeral, or whatever that movie is. He went on a tirade against the fantasy dwarves this week. He says the dwarves in fantasy are frequently portrayed as alcohol-swilling, elf-hating, axe-swinging, stout, long-bearded, and unimaginative. And so he's saying that these, you know, he doesn't want people to portray real-life dwarves with these fantasy D&D Tolkien dwarves. And I think that's pretty pretty ridiculous. Like, I mean, tall people aren't saying, oh, the elves are really, people are stereotyping us tall people and thinking that we all like to read poetry and marry Viggo Mortensen. It's unfair. I mean, these are, you know, this isn't like Tolkien, when he created these dwarves, you know, he wasn't saying, oh, you know, real life people who are shorter than 4'8", they must live in the mountains and collect jewels all day. I'm going to satirize them in my book, The Lord of the Rings. Like, he created a fantasy thing. I mean, orcs aren't real. These dwarves aren't real. Just because, you know, real-life dwarves happen to be short, like these fantasy dwarves. That's the only connection. Other than that, they're a mythical monster, just as orcs and dragons are.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to read his statement, but I'd have to agree with you on this. It doesn't really make much sense to be so critical of the portrayal of dwarves when you take it to that extent. You're like, I'm sick of dwarves being portrayed as these easily persuaded by wizard characters who at a moment's notice will go hunting for dragon treasure. That's something that we used to do, not anymore. We're not so greedy as to go fight the dragon in Smolkin and whatnot. So yeah, it's, where does the context for his argument begin and end? I mean, it really has to be very, very specific, because it's already just kind of a moot point. Yeah, I mean, it's fantasy characters. Why would you care?
Yeah, I mean, there's also living trees, dude. Like,
right,
Tolkien
right.
wasn't trying to be racist against dwarves by making them like alcohol and hate elves. He also goes on to say, you look at something like Snow White, and each of the dwarves is just one thing. One sneezes, one is angry, one is tired. But, I mean, that's not so much about the dwarves. That's about the shitty, like, fairy tale writing and the shitty Disney writing that goes along with it. Like, Snow White, she only had one thing. She was pretty. The witch only had one thing. She was mean. You know, Aladdin only has one thing. He wants riches. The Little Mermaid only wants to live on land. Like, all these characters are just one thing.
Yeah, to be so hateful about it, and to think that people are making the misconception enough that he has to come out and say something about it, I think is kind of bizarre. Like, have you ever made the misconception we're on the street in some city, and you're walking on the sidewalk, and somebody of a shorter stature comes your way? Are you immediately thinking, like, oh, I better hold on to my sack of gold?
Yeah, I immediately think, well, now that this dwarf is coming out to me, I can go fight Saruman, because this guy's going to lend his axe to my car.
Right, right. With my bow and his axe.
We're finally a fellowship.
Right. I mean, I've had friends who are devoted Tolkien fans, and they don't confuse fantasy and reality in the way that this argument's being contrived.
Yeah.
It's distressing.
I mean, only the elves, really, are portrayed in any sort of, like, positive light in that world. Like, all the humans are pretty much dildos too, like, you know, Boromir tries to steal the ring, and what's his face, Denethor is like a crazy guy who burns himself on a pyre. Like none of these guys are very high quality humans, really.
Yeah, and like you said all the elves are pretty much just hightailing it out of there. They realize everybody who lives there sucks, so like, we're just gonna sail off of this godforsaken rock, land some place where we can all live out our eternal lives, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, and then the other, besides the elves, the other good people in the story are the hobbits, who are dwarves. And those are like the most positive characters in any story ever.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, this is nerdy.
It is very nerdy. Let's move on to the next lightning round topic before we start geeking out even more.
This week, famed porn star Sasha Gray was apparently invited to a Los Angeles school to read to school children, read them a nice little story. And then when parents of the students caught on that a porn star read to their children, you know, they were mad. And then the school denied ever having her, which didn't work out too well because there were pictures of her in class reading to the children. And now the school district is trying to say, that our talent coordinator informed the school that we wanted to have her read to the children because of her appearance on Entourage, which seems like a big old cop-out.
Which doesn't make sense because she's playing Sasha Grey, the porn star, on Entourage. Like, there's really no disconnect from her real-life career in the character on Entourage, right?
That is correct.
Like, that's the joke. She's constantly dropping the fact, like, oh, yeah, and I'm a porn star, Turtle. And then Bob Saget does something on screen. That's very bizarre. Does it say what book she read? Can we speculate what book she read?
Let us speculate.
What do you think she read to the children?
I'm
thinking she read Everybody Poops on Everybody Else's Chest.
Yeah, I'm thinking that she read Green Eggs and Bukkake.
That's disgusting. I don't know how mine is less disgusting, but I didn't see the Bukkake coming.
Well, Sasha Grey did. I don't so much care. Like, if a porn star was, reading to children in my school district, I wouldn't really care. I mean, she's probably, you know, a lot more together than most actors, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
I'd probably much rather have Sasha Grey around my kids than Jenny McCarthy or somebody like that. But then again, like, it is sending kind of a weird message. Hey, kids, you know, in order to succeed, all you have to do is put a couple cocks in your mouth. Forget this school stuff. You'll be all right. You get yourself a guest spot on Entourage, and you get to hang out with Andrew Dice Clay and Adrian Grenier.
You might even star in an indie flick someday. And I think a lot of the uproar in these sort of instances is that people get the misconception that Sasha Grey, the porn star, is performing porn in front of children when it's just reading a book. I mean, there's a huge difference. And I think what's more of the concern on the parents' end, or what could be a concern, well, I would be concerned about if I were a parent, is sort of like how the administration was testing the waters with this. And that's the only issue I would have. It's like, so it's cool if we get this porn star that we all want to meet to come to campus and read to these kids. Okay, well, we're just going to have our porn star reading series then. I mean, it just seems very suspect. Like, why would they want her on? Because she was a guest spot on Entourage?
Yeah.
Like, I know educators who have less corrupted mind sense. Sorry, less corrupted good sense to find somebody who is a little bit more renowned for reading than a porn star. Not to say that Sasha Grey is not a good writer or not even a good book reader, but like, why not get somebody like a local author of children's books to come in?
Yeah, or at least, I mean, there's got to be a million people that kids would know who they were. I mean, these kids probably didn't even know who, I mean, hopefully
exactly.
These kids didn't know who Sasha Grey was. I mean, you know, there's a million.
Except for those one or two stray kids in the classroom. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's probably a bunch of people who have been on, like, kids shows that these kids would get, you know.
Right. Yeah. Like, anybody who's guest spotted on Yo Gabba Gabba. They could have gotten anybody like that.
They could have got Kobe. He's not doing anything right now.
Yeah. They could have.
I mean, maybe a lot of the parents are just mad that, like, they didn't find out about this beforehand, because I'm certain that, like, most of the dads would have wanted to be there too. Like, oh, I gotta check this book out. I bet reading time is a lot of fun, eh?
Right.
They didn't get any deposits to their spank bank, and now they're mad. They're going to go to the PTA meeting and be like, next time you have a porn star, have the decency to tell us beforehand so we can take off of work.
Right, yeah. I didn't see this on the monthly flyer. You tell me that pizza day is every Friday? But you don't tell me when a porn star is coming in to read? This is an outrage.
I don't give a damn about Pizza Day Friday. I only care about getting material that I can later think about and whack off to. That's my argument when I go to the PTA meetings. Even if it has nothing to do with Sasha Grey or porn stars, I'm just always saying that.
I got a feeling that you're going to be banned from PTA meetings pretty quickly. You're also going to be on the registered sex offender list.
Speaking of sex offenders, the next thing we have on the lightning round is that PETA has made a Flash video game about Mario. I mean, they're mad at the Tanuki suits that Mario wears in Part 3, the flying raccoon-type suit. They're saying that it endorses the practice of murdering these weird little raccoon dogs that live in Asia. And I don't think that's true. I didn't even know this was a real goddamn thing until a little while ago. These animals, they don't fly in real life. They've got nothing to do with reality. I don't know. I don't understand PETA. They're always just trying to piss on everything.
And now they've gone too far?
They've gone way too far. When you mess with Super Mario Brothers, you've gone way too far. I mean, Super Mario, he also grabs a flower and can breathe fire. And he also can take the Hammer Brothers suit. I mean, none of these are encouraging the slaughter of animals. I mean, there's nobody who's ever played Super Mario Brothers that's like, oh man, I bet if I go to Asia and I kill some raccoon dogs, I can put their skin on and then I can fly and skip ahead to World 6.
Yeah, I'm not sure where they're making the connection with that anyway. Like you mentioned, I mean, to get that Tanuki suit, mm-hmm. If I remember correctly, because I'm such a huge nerd, you have to grab a leaf to get that suit, right? Was it a leaf, or was it like, oh no, you did have to grab like an actual suit. One, I think the leaf granted you the power of like raccoon ears and a tail, and that was it.
Yeah, that's right.
The Tanuki suit, he actually did grab the suit, yeah. But hell, like, you even wore like a frog suit, and it's not like you were wearing a scuba suit, like, it gives the impression that you had jumped inside of a frog's mouth, and you just sort of embodied it. And that's kind of bizarre as well.
That is true. You can also jump into a giant shoe that is probably made of leather.
That's the thing. Like, there's so many other bad things in these games that aren't even being considered. Like, I mean, hell, in the Super Mario games, don't even bother with the Tanuki suit. You jump on tons of helpless turtles.
Yeah.
And just kill them and send them off into oblivion. The Mario character, he even takes care of Donkey Kong. Not takes care of, but if you actually read like the original synopsis for the video game, if you ever had like the original video game booklet or anything, he is a very bad master of Donkey Kong. Like, he ends up captivating this gorilla and treat him very poorly. The premise of Donkey Kong is that Donkey Kong finally gets to escape, but you play as Mario as the probably very surly and decrepit animal keeper who's trying to get his ape back. I mean, who cares that the ape kidnapped this girl and is destroying the scaffolding? You are in charge of this animal, and you're not very good because he just wants to run away from you. That's Donkey Kong.
Yeah, Donkey Kong's the bad guy here.
Yeah, I mean, he's supposed to be, but...
Yeah, and I mean, never mind this, like, fake... I mean, they say Mario wearing the Tanuki suit is sending the message that it's okay to wear fur, which is silly. Like, nobody would even put together that the Tanuki suit is supposed to be the dead carcass of an animal. But never mind, PETA's completely ignoring the fact that in Super Mario World, he basically enslaves Yoshi to be a pack animal for him.
Yeah, and they're not even trying there. Like, straight from birth, this animal has been completely broken and domesticated. He is born out of a shell wearing a saddle and human boots.
Yeah.
There's no reason for the boots. But
not
he's
at
wearing
all.
Them anyway.
There are parts in that game where in order to get to a secret part, like, you have to jump with Yoshi and then jump off of Yoshi to get
just
to a platform.
Sacrifice him.
And sacrifice
yeah.
him. No, they don't want to worry about that, though.
No.
But anyway, back to this game. In the game, you are the bloody muscles and bones and skin of a Tanuki that has no fur because Mario is wearing the fur, and you have to get the fur back. And also, it looks like it takes place after the apocalypse. And it looks like there's a bunch of dicks in the background, judging from this screenshot.
Have you played this game, or would you play it?
No, I might play it maybe one day, but... just to see what it's like. Just to see how much more damaging playing this bloody, bloody game would be to a child than Super Mario Bros. Would be.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, I'm surprised that this is the only... that this is the major instance that they're latching on to. There are so many others that they could just envision. Like, do you remember Tekken?
Indeed.
Tekken's a martial arts video game where you're basically fighting other human opponents, but then out of the blue, you have to fight a kangaroo that has boxing gloves on. And you think that there'd be some game based around that on the PETA website, but not so much.
Yeah, yeah. And then also in Streets of Rage 2, I think that there's a kangaroo with boxing gloves.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Not to mention a baby controlling a giant mechanical mecha suit.
Yeah, there's so much more stuff out there that they could have latched onto rather than Mario. Mario's not trying to hurt anybody, except for Bowser, who is a giant lizard. And Mario continuously removes the bridge from underneath him and burns him alive. And they're worried about the Tanuki suit.
Yeah, it's misplaced anger. And, you know, like, there are other institutions that would probably be more deserving of contributions, like the Humane Society. But when you donate to PETA, you can expect to get a very gory flash game with Mario as the villain.
Yeah, the money you donate to them is going towards making bloody video games.
And all they need to do is just re-release Sonic the Hedgehog. It's the most pro-animal game out there, where a very fast blue hedgehog liberates a bunch of enslaved animals.
Yeah, that's the whole like plot of that game, is liberating enslaved animals. They could have just got behind that, but no, they decided to make the bloody one. But yeah, so that's the lightning round. Up next, we have everybody's favorite correspondence-based segment of the show. It's called Frisbee Got Mail.
Frisbee Got Mail.
This is the part of the show where Frisbee reads the listener mail. You can send us some mail at poolpartyradio@gmail.com. So Frisbee, do you have any emails this week?
No, I do not.
Not even from Aaron Larson, huh?
Not even from Aaron Larson.
Are you tired of movie podcasts where everyone is talking like an asshole about stupid shit like The Godfather and The Shawshank Redemption? Then you need to hit yourself to Junk Food Dinner, a podcast where we value laser guns and Dean Cameron more than acting ability or feasible plots. We love any cheesy old cult stuff you got. The more rubber monster suits chasing bikini beach girls, the better. And we're not assholes. Check us out at www.junkfooddinner.com or search iTunes.
Now is the end of the show. I hope that you've enjoyed your time with us. Remember that you can email us at poolpartyradio@gmail.com. Let us know if you like either Julian Sandsgiving or Cranksgiving. You know, we'll get together. We'll do it like a democracy. Maybe we can celebrate one of those this year and every year after. If you have any traditions to add to either one of those holidays, let us know about that too. We'll get it going. Or just to email us about anything else in the world, in the whole entire world.
Mm-hmm.
You can also go to poolpartyradio.com and check out all the old episodes, check out links to our friends, check out other podcasts that we like Junk Food Dinner, The Kissing Contest, The Acid Pop Cult, Pod Awful, all the other ones on the Red Band Network. And you can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/poolpartyradio. We would appreciate that. We like those likes.
You can also follow our Twitter accounts that are also linked on the poolpartyradio.com site, on the left side up there. You can follow Parker at Parker Arizona, and you can follow me at Jason Frisbee.
Indeed.
And
so.
Pool Party Radio at Pool Party Radio.
Yeah.
Oddly enough.
And, you know, if you want to subscribe, go to iTunes and maybe leave us some comments and reviews if you want. But most importantly, just tell a buddy. Anytime a buddy says, hey, I'm bored, you know, anybody got any music suggestions? Say, hey, fuck a bunch of music. You want to download the Pool Party Radio. It's way better than music, and it's much longer. It'll keep you entertained at work or on your commute to work for much longer than a Coldplay album would. Usually, I have no way to end the show. I don't have a sign-off. I don't say mahalo. I don't say any of these things that the kids say, you know, good night and have a pleasant tomorrow. But I found something on the internet that I thought was kind of funny that I'll use as my sign-off this week. Most people didn't like Paranormal Activity. I only liked it because I believe in demon possession and ghost.
How is Babby formed? How girl get pregnant?